All right, let's take our Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And last Thursday we stopped at verse number 16. So let's begin by Matthew 4, beginning verse 17, 18, and 19. Let's read those verses together, starting with verse number 17, Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simeon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 17. From that time, which time? Where was the Lord Jesus at this time in verse 17?
Galilee.
The Galilee, all right. And that it came from where? Where was he to start with before he went to Galilee?
Nazareth.
He's in Nazareth, yes. In just in this chapter, earlier in the chapter, where was he?
Jordan,
In the wilderness. So now he's over here. And from that time, what did he do in verse number 17? What did the Lord Jesus do after the temptation, the successful temptation of the devil?
Began to preach.
What does preach mean?
Teach.
Okay, prior to his teaching.
What herald?
What else was it?
It means to herald.
To herald out, all right, call out. It's involved with teaching, it's involved with encouraging, all these different things in preaching. And then he went to say, what was his first word and command in verse 17?
Repent.
And we know that Greek word is what?
Metanoia.
And what does that Greek word mean, repent? Meta? Change. Noia from?
A change of mind.
Nous, from the mind. That's a change of mind. And now this repentance here is for Israel to set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. Did the Israelites receive that kingdom? Did they accept him as their king? No, they did not. Upon the crucifixion, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews, who was on there, but they didn't accept him. Now, what did they say when Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" What did they say?
We have his emotive upon
us. We have no king with Caesar. That is above the upon us. That's right. And so, this kingdom of heaven that was preached is at hand because the king was there. But when the king was rejected, then the kingdom was what?
In abeyance.
In advance and postponed, there's a hiatus, a parenthesis, and that's this whole age of grace. This whole age of grace during the church age. And will that kingdom ever be restored completely and full?
Yes.
All right. When will that come?
During the millennium.
The millennium. Millennium means what?
Thousand
years. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us a comment, call in and tell us what it is. So, repent. Change your mind. Now, what did the Israelites have to change their mind about? Now, for us today, we have different things, but let's begin with us. People here today, lost, hell-bound sinners, let's change our mind regarding what?
God.
Oh, the glory of God, that's true. What else?
Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, what else? Sin. There was sin, all right. What? How do we have to change our mind regarding sin?
Repent.
Repent to change your mind, but to change your mind,
we have to accept the offer
turn.
Of Jesus Christ.
Well, our wicked ways.
What do we have to change your mind to regard our sin?
Christ is the Savior.
Well, that's another thing. Change your mind regarding Christ. He's able to save us. But what about changing your mind for sin? What do people have to change their mind for?
About forsake sin.
First of all, what do they have to realize about sin?
They're lost.
They're sinful, and they are sinners. And do all people think they're sinners?
No.
A lot of them say, "Oh, I'm all right. No, I've done anything wrong." But to change your mind, God says you are a sinner, I'm a sinner, and that's the first thing we must repent or change our mind about. What's the second thing we must change our mind about?
Believe Christ died for us.
What? So change your mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died in our place, that he was our Savior, he could save us, and he was able to save us. But do all people think that Christ can save them?
No.
Remember, Rob was telling me on the phone just the other day. He talked to the man that he used to work with changing pools and so on in the Chicago area. Two brothers. One died, the other died shortly thereafter. But one of them he was witnessing to, and trying to get them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, says, what do I need God for? I'm a success. I got plenty of money and everything, so change your mind to King Christ, that you need him, that he died for your sins. And then the third thing, you have to do what regarding this question?
Believe
the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him and trust him as Savior. So that's repentance for believers, lost people today. What did Israel have to repent of that he preached repentance all of us here upon this earth?
That he was the promised Messiah.
The promised Messiah, that had changed their mind regarding that, and that they shouldn't reject him, and that they maybe were sinners also. So first of all was to repent. Did they repent? Did Israel repent as a nation?
No.
They did not. And they still have not repented, haven't they? They still in their sins, and they don't want. But the kingdom of God is at hand. What does at hand mean? At hand.
It could happen immediately.
Could happen immediately, all right. It's close, it's near, that's where at hand means. And so that's what he said. And then in verse 18, where was the Lord Jesus here at this verse? Walking by the Sea of Galilee, way up in the north, Jerusalem down here, north up here, walking by the Sea of Galilee. Don't know which part of it, but he was walking along the sea, by the Sea of Galilee. And what happened at that time in verse 18? What happened at that time?
He saw two brothers.
Simon.
Peter and Andrew.
And what were they doing?
Fishing.
They were fishermen. They were casting a net. And they were fishers. So, now, let me ask you this. Do you think there are only these two brothers there, or do you think there were more as well?
We don't know.
We don't know. Do you think they're just the two fishing? Do you think there are more?
Probably
as well. What do you think?
There were other men fishing.
Probably other people. I mean, it's a big place for fishing. If they were fishing, probably other people fishing in different places. It's a good place to fish. But the Lord Jesus saw these two.
He chose them
too. He selected. He wanted to select those two, didn't he? He saw those two and had a special look for them. They were fishers. And then in verse number 19, what did he say to them? Did he say, hello, how are you? Give me some money?
Follow me.
That's the first thing he said. What does it mean to follow someone? Questions at bfbbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us an email. Say hello for us. What does it mean to follow?
Go with him.
Go with him, all right. Should we follow everybody?
No.
Who should we not follow?
Well, Satan for one, but everybody.
Satan for one, apostates for other.
Yeah.
People are Christians maybe are walking in the wrong direction. They don't want to follow the wrong direction.
Yeah, we should only follow Jesus Christ.
That's right. If we're supposed to go to college with, we go one way. If we're going to go to Westmont, we go another way. So you got to, the person's got to be in the right direction. But did Paul ever say to follow him? Yes, as he did what?
Follow Christ.
As he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, you can follow Paul. And if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, people can follow. And sometimes we're not following. Some people follow us and we lead them astray. It's a horrible thing. We've got to be good examples that we can follow. So follow him. What did he promise that they would follow him in verse 19?
He would make them fishers of men.
Now this idea, I will make you. What's that mean? I will make you. What does that imply?
Workmanship.
Workmanship, all right, what else?
Give them the ability.
The ability. Does it stand to reason if a person knows how to fish for fish, they can also fish for men? Is it?
No.
It's just not automatic. So it needs some training. I will make you. Now, you remember what Moses said when God said, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. What did he say?
Not eloquent.
They had all kinds of excuses. They won't believe me. But the Lord said, I will go with you. I will be with that mouth. I'll send you Aaron, help Aaron, and be with his mouth, and we'll work together. So the Lord enabled Moses to lead the people out. How many people left Egypt?
Roughly around 2 million.
Not 2 million, 600,000 men, plus women and children. So maybe 2 million, 2.5 million, 3 million, who knows? But the Lord Jesus said, I will make you. Now, if we come to Christ as our Savior today, tonight, I mean, in our lifetime, in this age in which we live, is he able to make us fishers of men?
Yeah.
He can make us. He can allow us, as we read his word, as we study the scriptures, he can let us to be fishers of men. What does it mean to fish for men? It's an unusual expression, isn't it? What does it mean?
Soul winning.
Soul winning?
Preaching the word, following the Great Commission.
Evangelism.
Evangelism. What does it take to fish for fish?
Bait.
I don't fish a little, I fish a little bit, but I bring a little bit. That needs bait. I first bait, what else do
you need? You need a fishing pole with a hook
fishing
on it.
Fishing pole, a hook on it.
A line.
A line.
You gotta know where the fish are.
I know where fish are. All these details. And so, fishing for men, fishing for people, we have to have the proper bait, proper hook, proper line. Everything. That's all. But the Lord can make us to be fishers, and then that's when he wanted these disciples. Then after the resurrection, by the resurrection, did the Simon Peter go back to fishing, or did he stay fishing from there?
He went back fishing.
Went back to fishing.
That's what they knew.
He had four, five, or six others all together, I think. I think the total of seven. In John chapter, the last chapter, chapter John. And so, then when the Lord confronted him, what did he do? Love us on me more than what did he do after that? He still kept on fishing for fish? What did he do?
He forsook.
He went back, preaching for men, and was a great apostle, and preached on the day of Pentecost, and he had a following, and many following, wrote two books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter, so we came back to the fishing for men, the purpose for which he was called. And we should never forget our calling. It's part of our calling is fish. But now, do the fish always bite?
No.
No. Should that discourage the fishermen just because one doesn't bite? Keep fishing. Now, do people always bite when we tell them the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they always accept and receive? They do not. It's like more reject than accept, am I right? More reject than accept, but we've got to keep fishing for men as the Lord was calling these to follow me. Alright, 7, 8, 9. Let's read verse 20, 21, 22 together. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's see, is that it? Let's see, 20, 20, how many do we read? One more?
No, that's 20, 21, and 22.
Okay, so that's right. So, quick point. What was the reaction when the Lord Jesus gave them a command to follow him?
Right there, they left their nets.
Now, let's think of that now. If they were fishermen by trade, that's all they knew was to make a living and so forth, does that seem a little strange? Somebody comes up to you, you've never met in your life, and all of a sudden says, follow me. It seems to be a little bit unnatural, is it not? The Lord persuaded them, and they followed, and they knew. They must have known he was someone other than just simply human being. He was perfect God and perfect man. But they did follow him, strange as may be. If somebody came up to you, for example, right on the street, and they told you to follow me, would you follow them?
No.
No, he wouldn't have kept them.
But the Lord Jesus Christ probably would. Because he's God, he was probably somehow ministering to their hearts before they even said anything.
Yes.
And drawing them to himself.
I'm sure that was the case. Ministering to himself. Yes, Emily.
Well, in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about that there were two disciples of John that heard John say to, when he looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say that they asked him, where dwellest thou? And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says here, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him
mm-hmm.
to Jesus.
So that's Luke's picture of the situation, isn't it? So Peter and Andrew are right there.
I say Luke, I'm sorry, I meant to say John.
So these two brethren, Simon thought Peter, and Peter means what?
Stone,
all right, little stone. Petra, and Andrew's brother, what were they doing in verse 19? 20. They say, well, after that, follow him, okay. And then going on from that to verse 21, who else did he see, the Lord Jesus?
James,
son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And they were also in a ship, still walking along the Sea of Galilee, right around the end of it, or wherever it might have been. And so who else was there in addition to James and John?
Their father.
What was his name?
Zebedee.
What were they doing?
Fishing.
Well, before they're on land, what were they doing on land?
Getting the boat ready.
Getting the boat ready, mending the nets, fishing the nets, fixing them up. So, and so what did he do then when he saw these two brothers? What did the Lord Jesus do then in verse number 21?
He saw two others.
He saw the two others.
James.
Okay. And what did he do in verse number 22, the last part of verse 21?
He called
them also. And did he call Zebedee the father?
No.
No, wonder why not. We don't know, but is there a possible reason?
How do we know they didn't call
Zebedee? Did Zebedee leave with them?
No. What about God's sovereignty?
God's sovereignty, all right.
How do you know they didn't call
Zebedee? Well, in verse 22, did they agree with his call? Did they follow him? Did James and John, they left their father. So, what do I say? Remember, in other places in the New Testament and the Gospels, we sometimes had to leave our father, a mother, or
children,
after the kingdom of God's sake. And sometimes we do that. And so they left their father.
Peter said, what about us if we leave? But he said, you forsake the families.
Yes.
God promised them a greater reward.
A reward, and you have a mother, a father, and all the brethren, a sister, and so on. And so does that mean that James and John didn't love their father because they left him?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that they don't love them, but they left them, they responded to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once, for instance, when we're once saved, if you're here tonight and you're saved and born again, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018, give us a call or comment, email. If you are saved and born again, is it possible that our parents were not Christians and we are? Is it possible? Is that the case? We have some people right in here. That's on some cases, in my wife's situation, her mom and dad were saved and born again. But in my case, my mom maybe was saved, but my dad was not. Different places. And so, when we become Christians, do our unsaved parents understand what it means?
No.
No, they do not. They do not understand. And sometimes, do they even almost want us to stop?
Right.
Definitely stop doing what we're supposed to. Yes, that's quite cool.
In the Jewish families, if a Jew accepts the Messiah, the family would disown
him. Yes, that's right. That's what we're
saying.
A funeral, one thing. A funeral, different
thing. And in Catholicism. Christians who leave Catholicism, a lot of friends have disowned
them. Yes, that's the case. And there's lots of argumentation, lots of difficulty. But so these brethren, left. So you have now four. You have Dina. You have the four people, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and you have James and John. Who were the three big three disciples?
Peter, James, and John.
So here they are. There's three of the four right there. Yes, Ron?
Well, this is a family thing, but I never could understand if your mother was truly born again, why she wanted Pastor Madden, the liberal Methodist, to get to change your mind. I never understood that.
That's a good question. My mom, as soon as I was saved, she wondered about this crazy thing. So the reason she didn't understand it, even though she may have been saved herself, she was going to an apostate Methodist church. with no doctor, no beliefs of their own. And so she put him in the car with me. He drove off there.
How did she do that?
Well, why don't you go with Pastor Madden, and they just talked and visited with him, and so on.
Were you in college when that happened?
I was in the house, so he came to visit.
He came to visit, and okay.
She probably called him.
Yeah, probably.
Get this crazy stuff out of that boy's mind. He thinks he's born again and saved. Well, I don't know what she told him, but he was driving along and trying to get me out of this whole thing. I didn't move. I kept the faith. I didn't change my beliefs. I didn't do anything about it. In fact, after I came back one summer from Dallas Theological Seminary, I attended Pastor Madden's church, Methodist church, and that went over to him. I didn't attend the church, but in his office. I had a bunch of questions all typed out, all written out, on the Lord Jesus Christ, His deity, His body, resurrection, His word and work, all written out. And I asked Pastor Madden all these questions, and he answered just about 100% of them wrong. He was an apostate, didn't believe any of it. This was the church that my mother went to in Berea, Ohio. Went back to Mom and said, Mom, here's the questions, here's his answer. Oh, son, you must be wrong. He's a mature man. You're just a young man. You just don't know what you're talking about. She just rejected the whole thing. So anyhow, but sometimes we do have problems with our parents, but if the parents are wrong, not that we're going to hate our parents, we're going to love our parents more, but if our parents are wrong, do we follow them when they're wrong?
No.
But the Lord says, obey the mom and dad, but if it's a contrary to the scriptures, then let's obey God first, and so on. So this is important, yeah, huh?
Well, I just want to say that your Grandma Pierce, she was a Baptist.
Yes.
And then she married Grandpa Pierce, who was a Methodist.
That's right.
She changed. And then Grandpa Pierce was in the Salvation Army. So they probably were real born again.
Yes, yes, they were.
But the old fashioned, they went to evangelistic or something.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't know them then.
Mm-hmm.
But so your mother grew up in that home, and
yes.
And your mother and Aunt Elvira, her sister, your aunt.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Leora. Mm-hmm.
Aunt Leora, I got her name mixed up. Elvira was her maid. I'm sorry. But they both were nice. And, anyhow, they knew all the old hymns, and your mother knew all the hymns.
Oh, yes. And she was an excellent pianist. She could write and play just by ear, just like Dick Carroll. Not as good as good, but I mean, she grew up by ear, just knew the hymns. And when my dad was, he had a ukulele or something.
No, it was
mandolin. Mandolin. He'd play that mandolin and he'd play the song. Anyhow, continue, but I interrupted you.
No, that's all right. I'm just trying to, for our own family, I want them to know.
Yes. So the father.
My own personal opinion is that your salvation is the answer to your grandmother and grandfather's prayer.
Yes, I think that's
you're
right.
My own opinion.
Yes, I believe
because
so.
Because you just came out of the blue and got saved.
Pastor Grandma Pierce in Wellington, Ohio. I'm sure they prayed for their grandson. That's the answer. And the mom would never leave that church. That's what I'd say about that. And so, but finally, Dad got saved after. He had surgery in the Wilbur Hospital and a glaucoma, and the Pastor Peyton led him to Christ. And he afterwards, he said, I took Jesus as my Savior. Dad, late in life, he was in his 90s, I guess, when he was saved.
He was in his late 80s.
Anyway, but the father, they left the father, that doesn't mean that they're not in favor of the father, they don't know what the father's belief was, but now follow me, and I'll make the fishers of men. Straightway left the net, and James, the son of Zebedee, left their father in the ship, many of the nets, and he called it, left their father, and followed him. Now, let me ask you this, in verse 22, there are two things. They left their father, and they followed him. What if they just left their father? Would that be proper?
No.
No, they were fishing partners, huh? But to follow him, that was the main thing, the supreme thing, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they leave our parents or other things, following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father could have gone too if you wanted.
Father could have gone, but somebody had to take care of the fishing equipment, I guess, and the boats and different things. As we come to the end of that, what we read, 22, let's read 23, 24, 25 together. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Alright, verse 23. Why did the Lord Jesus go after he talked to these four men, Peter and Andrew and James and John?
With the Galilee to the synagogue.
Yeah, all over the Galilee, just all different. We don't know the one subject what, but he kept going to, on Galilee, didn't he? Around the Galilee. What did he do when he wanted to come around the Galilee?
Into the synagogue.
Right, in the synagogue, teaching. What did he do? Two things.
Teaching.
Teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom again. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between teaching and preaching?
The difference. Preaching
is meddling. Preaching sometimes you get a little meddling and someone convicting different things. One is could be rudimentary, it could be just a normal type of thing, not too highly emotional, just on a lower basis. You teach algebra or even arithmetic. Simple arithmetic, 2 plus 2 equals 4, so everything like that. This teaching is a low key. But preaching is that a louder, a stronger, perhaps, approach in preaching? And, but see, also, if preaching is caruso, which means to be a herald. The herald is to take the message from the king and deliver it. Don't alter it, don't change, just deliver it. And that's what the preaching, and so the preaching should follow a pattern of the scripture, certainly preaching today, as we see in 2 Timothy, we've talked about that, preach the word, the incident, season, and obviously. So he went teaching in the synagogues. What is the synagogue? Why did he go to the synagogues? Who was there?
Jews.
Jews. How was it organized?
Of course, it came out of the Babylonian captivity.
All right. How many Jews had to be before they began a synagogue?
Was it 10?
10, I believe it was 10. And so when Paul went over to Macedonia, when Paul went over to Macedonia, the Macedonian call, it's on his map, but he went to Cicero, and Lydia was there, was it not? And she had a Bible prayer meeting. And there wasn't a synagogue at that point because there was probably 10 men that would just find that and start it. But went to the synagogue, that's where the Jews were, and what did he do there in verse number 23? What did he do in the synagogue? Teaching, and what? Well, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What again, what is the gospel of the kingdom? What's that mean?
The good news.
Good news about?
It's about Jesus, the
Sabbath kingdom. The Sabbath kingdom, his reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and this one day will take place. We believe in pre-millennialism, that is, the Lord Jesus will come back before this 1,000 years to set up this kingdom. There's some that believe in amillennialism, meaning what?
No
millennium at all. It's just going to end. And some believe in post-millennialism, means what?
Post-millennialism.
Well, after we set up our own 1,000 years of peace, he'll come back and say, thank you, you did a good job. Now, do you think we're going to be able to have all this peace? It's going war after war after war after war. So we believe that only the Lord Jesus Christ can rightfully set up a kingdom and reign of peace. No question about that. But we can't do it. We prove that year after year after year. And then preach the gospel of the kingdom, and with one day we're coming. What else was the Lord doing? So teaching and preaching in verse number 23. What else did the Lord do?
Healing.
He was healing. Just, what, just one or two things?
All
manner of sickness and disease among the people. Now, yes, it was this. He was what we call a doctor, healing with the power, not just the medicine, but with his own power. Perfect God, perfect man. the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All manner of disease among the people. Then in verse 24, what happened? Because of this healing of people.
He became famous.
All right, the fame. What does fame mean? What does fame mean?
Well, people heard about him.
Okay. The fame, the fame goes with that word famous. It's not all Syria. What happened to Syria? All of Syria. This is a weapon. All the things went up to Syria. And what else in verse 23? 24. Brought in all sick people. Then, what kind of diseases do they have?
Okay.
What is thyroid disease? That something undersea? Undersea level?
Variety.
Variety, right? Diversity of diseases. Anna, go right ahead. Find them. That's somebody that Anna's got a hold of. All right?
Dear Pastor Wade, hello to everyone. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. We are listening here in California.
Joe Donald's way to Joe Donald. Thank you, Joe Donald. I appreciate your kindness. And somebody's out there listening to say hello to us. All right, thank you. So, diabetes is all kinds of diseases. What else did the Lord Jesus heal of in verse 24?
Lunatics.
All right, the torments, first of all, and then possessed with devils. What else? Lunatic. What does lunatic mean?
Insane.
Moonstruck. Moonstruck, that's right. Moon is the moon.
Epileptic also, question.
And what else did he heal?
The palsy.
The palsy. And the Lord Jesus was able to heal him. Was he able to heal him? Yes, as he healed him. So, now, we don't believe that the gifts of healing are in the church today. Occasionally, God through prayer and other means heals different people, but they don't have the special gift of healing as the apostles had. They lay their hands and be healed. The charismatic, we don't agree with them on that. But the Lord Jesus was a healer and he healed them. And then in verse 25, what happened after the healing took place? There were many people.
Multitudes, crowds of people.
Great multitudes followed from that. Why do you think they followed him?
To heal them.
To heal. Remember in the Gospel of John, I think it's chapter 5 and 6. He was one side of Galilee, then on the other side of Galilee, and they came all the way across the Galilee and followed him. And he asked them, "You follow me because you ate of the bread and the fill." See? And then he talked about the bread from heaven. See? So the worldly purposes of following him were true at that time, they're true this time probably. They were great multitudes of people. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to see the healing. Just like a big accident, we see these big flashing lights going down the street, whether it's Park Avenue or whatever avenue it is, Manhattan Avenue, and you see all those flashing lights. A lot of times people follow a fire engine, see what happens. And so they want to see what happens as well. From Galilee, from Decapolis. Decapolis means what? Decapolis.
Second.
What is it?
Ten
cities. That's right. Ten cities. Different ten city clusters. There's ten cities, Decapolis clusters all around. They followed from Decapolis. Where else did they come from?
Galilee.
Galilee. That whole Galilee area right in there. And where else?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Way down in Jerusalem. They followed from Jerusalem. And where else?
Yeah,
Judea. That's all Judea. That's Judea. Jerusalem is Judea. That whole area of Judea. And where else?
Beyond Jordan.
Over the other side of Jordan. They're in the wilderness. They just here's the capital right here. And all beyond this Jordan River, they came to see what was all about. Yes, sir.
And they did it without Twitter and their cell phone and satellites.
They did it without Twitter, cell phone, yeah. Facebook, and the satellites and the email. That's right. Absolutely. Step on.
I think I was alive during McPherson. How do you look his name?
Amy Semple McPherson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
pictured. Woman,
she had big tent meetings and people came and crowded and the sick people would come.
Mm-hmm.
And the sick people were really sick. You know, I mean, all sorts of illnesses and they come.
Mm-hmm.
They just flocked from all over and came. and someone that I know was very sick, and she went, even though she didn't believe in all that, but yet she was so sick, and she went, but she didn't get healed.
Mm-hmm.
But you just think what it was like for Jesus when he actually healed people.
Yeah.
Remember, he actually healed the people.
Successful healing.
That's why such a big group knew, because you didn't need telephone or anything. But when you have somebody sick and they would get healed, completely healed, mm-hmm. you would tell. And
tell them all. Tell them about the great thing that's happened to you. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're going to stop right here. Do you have any other comments or questions before we go to take up your going? Chapter 5, let's read the first three verses of chapter 5 before we leave, starting at verse 1 together. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We'll take that up, we're going next Thursday evening. But do you ever have any comments or questions before we close?
Very nice.
All right, then let's close. Lord, well, we thank you, Father, for the Savior that was able and is always able. Take these people that are sick and lunatic and with divers diseases and demon possession, and he could heal and did heal them. And so they just went after him. And multitudes were sorry, Lord, that so few followed him at Calvary, but wanted him crucified, and just very few. So, Lord, we thank you for those that did follow. We thank you for the ones that follow him today. And help us as Simon Peter and Andrew and James and all these brethren that were called from thee. Help us to follow our Savior and keep following him and keep fishing for fish, for men, for women, for boys and girls, faithfully. We bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, and as we have blessed time of fellowship one with another, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.